Like you said, my name is JP, you know, everyone talks about where they went on their mission, hoping to get somewhere exotic. I was too, but I only got Hawaii, so. No, I'm just kidding. But God's forgiveness is powerful, very powerful. And I grew up kind of a different story than a lot of them. I grew up actually in a Christian home. I grew up in Tennessee, Chattanooga. And, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, a really strong Christian home. And I remember being 7 years old, asking Jesus into my heart. I asked about 5 times just to make sure it was right, you know. I was very involved in the church that I went up to, And I was even on the worship team for about 4 or 5 years. And it's probably starting around my junior or senior year of high school, I just started noticing some hypocrisy around me and became disenchanted with, you know, some of the areas that I was in, and not even looking inside my own self, seeing my own hypocrisy, my own selfishness, my own arrogance. And I began to look outside the Christian church for a physical kingdom. I wanted something that looked good, that was clean cut on the outside, that seemed unified. And so I started looking into the Mormon church, into the Mormon religion. And this kind of began my prodigal journey, just like the prodigal son, looking elsewhere outside of his father's house. And after about a 3-year period of investigating the Mormon church, I was baptized in November of 2010. But you know, my whole process of looking for this physical kingdom went against everything Jesus said about the kingdom of God, because in Luke 17 verses 20 through 21, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is not of observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. But you know, on this journey, I was so headstrong and finding this physical kingdom that I wanted. So immediately after getting baptized into the Mormon church, I went straight to Utah. I wanted to be, you know, immersed in the culture and the community, and I absolutely loved it. It was great. So for about 2.5 years, I became acquainted with these friends, and the friends quickly became like family to me. And after a while, I wanted to serve a mission. So, you know, I put in my papers and I got sent to Hawaii. The first 5 months I was on my mission, I absolutely loved every part about it. I was very zealous for everything that was going on. And I remember writing in my journal that I knew that my family at some point would even join the Mormon church. I just knew it because, you know, it made me happy and it would make them happy and we would all be just a happy family. But by the grace of God, you know, he had something else planned for my life. And around month 5, I actually was able to go back to my sister's wedding because she got engaged. And it's very rare for a missionary to go back home for a little while. And while I was at my sister's wedding, their ceremony impacted me so much. They played the hymn, "Jesus Paid It All." And that was such a good reminder for me of who Jesus really is, who God really is, what salvation really is. Because in the Mormon church, the community and the culture I loved, but it was the doctrine. When I went on my mission, the culture and the doctrine were separated, and I had to, you know, decide, did I really want to stay in this religion, in this physical kingdom that I had found and grown to love? And it was kind of my moment, like in the prodigal son, where he kind of came outside himself and said, what am I doing here? You know, I felt the love of God. I felt the grace of God. And I went looking for something else. What am I doing here? So the plane ride back to Hawaii took about 10 hours, but it was a lot longer for me because I had a lot to think about. And when I finally got back to Hawaii, I had more things to think about. And I had more questions that I would write down in my journal. And I got to the point of desperation where when my companion would fall asleep, I would sneak into the computer room at the church and I would look up on Google anything that resembled the situation I was in. And in God's perfect timing, I came across Unveiling Grace. Once again, their mother's story of how they all left the Mormon church. And immediately I went to Google Books and I read all that I could on Google Books. And I even stayed up till 2 a.m. in the morning watching their DVD of how they came to know Christ. And you know, that wasn't enough though. I needed the whole book. So I emailed one of my great friends, and he quickly sent the book to me. But of course, it would be a little awkward if I was caught while on my Mormon mission reading a book about missionaries, Mormon missionaries, leaving the Mormon church. So what my friend did is he didn't want to bring any attention to the book. So what he did is he duct taped the front and the back cover. I don't know if it helped bringing attention to it or hurt it. But I finally got it, and I read it in 2 days, because it was just another reminder of who God really is and what salvation really is and what grace really is. And because of my arrogance and my selfishness and me wanting to find a physical kingdom, I had kind of forgotten what that felt like. In the back of the book was all this ministry information. I found Adams Road Ministry, and I wrote them a letter, and Micah responded and gave me his phone number. And once again, desperation led to bold measures. When my companion would fall asleep again, I would go and I would call Micah and talk to him for about an hour, just needing encouragement. And finally, I got to the point where I needed to tell my mission president what I remembered of who God is, who Jesus is, what his grace really feels like, what forgiveness really is. And so we met a couple times, me kind of telling him what I believe salvation really is and who Jesus is. And after about a couple weeks of that, I called him and I finally said, it's time for me to go home, or to come home, finally. A characteristic of God that I absolutely love is his endless pursuit of his children. No matter how far they go, no matter what they've done, he always pursues them with his love and his kindness and his forgiveness. And no matter how arrogant or prideful I was, at a point where I just wanted to stay in this physical kingdom that looked clean cut and that seemed so perfect on the outside, I finally just had to give up. I had to allow God's grace and love just overflowed. So I did that. I told him it's time for me to go home. So on July 26th of this year, about 2 months ago, I came home to my family. And you know it. Amen. Praise God. It was his grace and love. Just like in the prodigal son, you know, the father, you know, God, he sees us. And the father didn't just stay and sitting there waiting for him to come. It says that when he saw his son a far way off, that he came out, he had compassion on him. He ran out, he met him, he fell on his neck and he hugged and he kissed him with love and grace. And that's how I felt. You know, I had worried that I had wasted my inheritance on doing this. But not only did God, you know, restore the inheritance, but he gave me more than I could have ever hoped or wished for because of his love for his children once again. And I found out what God's kingdom really means. It says in 1 John 4, verse 15, that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So when we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and we are now the body of Christ. We are God's kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is within you. And this only happens because of God's immeasurable love for his children. Of course, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And this is the life that I was reminded of through God's grace. And this is the life that we all have found because of the grace of God.